Welcome to Career Buzz, Canada's unique radio conversation that empowers lives, enriches careers, and energizes organizations. I'm your guest host today, Melissa Rodway, talking to women in trades. I'll be speaking with women who have left conventional careers to work as electricians, home renovators, and heavy machine operators. Please join me for my conversations with Shelley McIntyre, Jennifer Green, Michelle Demek, Lisa Pozeg, and Danielle Scott. My first guest this morning is Danielle Scott, who is the Community Outreach and Student Liaison for Skilled Trades at the Centre for Skills Development and Training in Burlington. Good morning, Danielle. How are you today?
Great, thanks. How are you?
I am well, and thanks for joining me. So, Danielle, tell us a bit about what you do at the Centre and what your job is all about.
My job is really to help people be successful while they're in training in the skilled trades. For a career in the skilled trades, and then move toward a career in the trades. I focus a lot on our Women in Skilled Trades program, which is an enhanced general carpentry program funded by the Ontario Women's Directorate. I work with people when they're applying for programs, throughout their program, and as they move kind of into job search in terms of their training to get ready to break into a new industry.
So you work at an environment that not only trains women in different skills, but you are also providing resume, interview, job search skills, that type of stuff.
Absolutely. We work with all of our students to help them find their first paid job related to their training. And that's really wraparound. So not just, you know, getting on paper and having a resume that they can hand to someone, but how are you going to get yourself out there? How are you really going to market yourself? Your resume is kind of your personal commercial of you. And it's kind of a full package. It's not just what you give someone on paper. It's what you're going to say when you call them, how you're going to present yourself when you show up on a site. And even just getting the confidence to get out there, particularly for women who are entering work in the construction industry, it's a really male-dominated field. So just kind of being prepared for what they're going to see out there.
Absolutely. So what types of women are you seeing that are going into trades?
All kinds. There's not really a specific look to a woman who's interested in moving into the trades. We see women who are right out of high school, 18, 19 years old, people who have been working in other industries. We've had graduates who'd worked in accounting industry or worked in business for a long time and thought, you know what, I really need to break away from my desk and do something that I love. We've seen women who have maybe gone to another program somewhere else and have realized, okay, you know what, I went to university because my parents or whoever said that it was a great idea, but that's not opening the doors that I wanted.
So is that what you would say is drawing women into trades from other industries? Is the hands-on experience or something completely different from the business world, that type of experience?
I think that skilled trades can be really lucrative. Stats Canada released some stats last year saying that skilled trades people are earning a salary about 3% above the national average. It's really meaningful work. Hands-on, you get to see a tangible result, and also you're not bringing that kind of work home with you very often. You know, you leave the job site and your work is there, and it's easier to come home and focus on whatever you're doing at home.
Yeah, especially today when women are so busy and wearing so many hats, having a job that's a little bit more compartmentalized that you can leave aside once you're home is ideal, really, in today's crazy busy world.
Absolutely. And it's not an industry that's going anywhere. I don't think anyone who's listening to your show or even yourself, you know, showing up to work today, I don't think anyone made their commute without driving by some sort of construction. We're always going to be building things, you know, particularly where you're at in downtown Toronto. All that construction that's happening along, you know, that Gardner corridor, I think every time I drive into Toronto, I'm like, wow, there's a whole new building up here. So it's a skill set that has a lot of value that people know there's going to be work this year, there's going to be work next year, whether that's in new home build or like commercial build or custom home building or home renovations. It's a really portable skill set. You can take anywhere across Canada and really diverse. So you can look at, you know, when your kids are little, if you want to be doing kind of more home renovations kind of work, which typically tends to be daytime hours, pretty winter-friendly work. And then if you're looking at if shifts aren't important to you and you want to start early in the morning, you can get out there and do new home build. There's a lot of diversity in the trades.
That's awesome. Do you think that there is a boom for job sites looking for women? Are they going out specifically maybe wanting to have more women on their crews? Maybe women can offer something that men can't. How can you speak to that?
I think that women bring something really unique into the workplace. And I'm not going to say that men don't have these skills, but women definitely bring more than technical skills into the industry. They've got strong attention to detail, teamwork, communication skills, and they're really motivated to prove themselves once they get out onto a job site. And that's not just construction focused, but anywhere.
Right.
I think also that there are a lot of shortages for good workers right now in the skilled trade. So perhaps employers who haven't looked at hiring women before are saying, well, I've got this gap, and really maybe the best man for the job isn't a man after all.
Mm-hmm. I think it's interesting, too, to your point earlier, that as you say, when you're driving around and you see all these new condos going up and new builds everywhere, that does mean jobs. That does mean, you know, bodies that need to be on site. Whereas in a lot of industries and business, that the opposite is happening. You know, it's more difficult to find work all the time. But you're right. There's so much industry happening around us that I think that's a really positive sign for women that do want to get into this industry. There's a lot of work happening.
I think that's why the Ontario government is really investing in, or has really invested in, you know, for example, our Women in Skilled Trades program. It's funded by the Ontario Women's Directorate, and they've been funding it for about 10 years, and it's a women's-focused training. And I think they understand that there are good, meaningful opportunities for women to move into the skilled trades and to have really sustainable work.
Mm-hmm. So I think there's a common stereotype that we assume women that are going to get into this are masculine women, or that, you know, small women wouldn't be able to do this. And that's not the right message. You're seeing all different types of personalities and physical statures. And that's true, isn't it? That it's not just one type of woman that's going into this area.
Absolutely. And I'm not going to deny that it's really physical work. The women, when they're working in our shop, I mean, in wintertime, you're still going to be breaking a sweat. But women are working smart, right? They understand I'm not going to be able to pick up and haul around 3 sheets of drywall at once. So I'm going to pick up one and I'm going to do it really fast, or I'm going to use my teamwork skills and work on it with everyone and get the job done how it needs to be done. And there's a lot of other skills that aren't physical skills that you need in construction. You need to have really strong mathematical skills in any trade. You know, you need to be able to measure. You need to be able to quickly problem solve. And those kind of soft skills are things that employers are really looking for people to have too.
Mm-hmm. What are the women coming back and saying to you after they've gone through the training and they're on site, or they found work, or they're in the field? What do you hear back from them? What's their experience after the schooling and after they're actually doing the work?
I love my job. I hear I love my job all the time. I hear, you know, wow, this is really hard work. And I think that women are finding it easier than they thought it to be sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly the employers that we work with that are hiring women, are ready to have a woman come into their workplace as well. But I hear, you know, I wish someone would have told me about this when I was younger. I wish that I had heard from my guidance counselor. I wish that I had taken that shop class and realized that I was good at this.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's a really important piece of woman-focused training, is that you're providing women with kind of a safe place to learn alongside other women. In our facility, there's still a co-ed class happening in the shop, so it's not a whole shop full of women, but in terms of their own class, they're learning, you know, in their own way, and they're really encouraging and supportive of each other. You know, someone will come over and say, wow, you're doing a great job on that. A lot more collaborative,
mm-hmm.
but definitely a lot of women who wish that someone had told them before.
Right. How long are the programs typically for women in skilled trades training?
I want to say they sit typically around 6 months. in terms of the in-class piece, definitely less than a year. Our program is 29 weeks, which I feel is pretty average. And they're spending about 70% of their time actually doing hands-on work in shops. So when they're leaving, they're feeling really confident that they can get out and do that kind of work. They take a ton of photos and post them on Facebook and send them to people and develop portfolios. And they can say, wow, I actually built a house already. I've already tiled. I've already put up drywall. They're not working with little models.
Right.
And that's really important in any pre-apprenticeship training program, right? Because you're confident that you're hiring someone who's got good foundational skills, that's got some in-class training, that's got some shop floor training, and can bring kind of that hands-on experience
right.
to the workplace.
Right. What do you like about your job, Danielle?
I think the best thing about my job is that I'm seeing people move towards great career success, right? Having a great job, moving into a great career, really has huge impact on your whole entire quality of life, whether or not you can go on vacation with your family, whether or not you can, you know, move up to that next home, the type of food you're eating, everything that you're doing. So I really believe that when people have a meaningful career, that really has impact on every facet of your life. You're building stronger kids and stronger communities and a better economy. So I feel really privileged that I get to be part of that process for people. I recently had a graduate come back and tell me we finally had a baby and we wouldn't have been able to do it if I hadn't have got good training and got into a really good job. And that's really great to hear. I mean, I think everyone has kind of struggled with their job search before and not feeling like they necessarily have the skills.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really amazing to be part of that process in terms of working really closely with all of our students and then, you know, how excited they are when they land that first job. And that might not be their job for the rest of their life, but how excited they are when they land that second job or when they get that first raise and really develop what the direction is for themselves.
Mm-hmm. That is exciting to be part of that process for sure. So what is the best way to, for women out there who are listening or they're curious about this, what's the best way for them to get more information for women in trades, schooling, and programs?
Well, where we go for all of our information, Google is a fantastic resource. You know, if you look at just Googling Women in Skilled Trades Ontario, you'll come up with a list of funded programs, and they're not just all like ours. Ours is an enhanced general carpentry program, but there are other skilled trades programs across Ontario. That's a great place to start. If you're searching, you know, women in skilled trades mentors, there's a lot of women who will put themselves out there and say, you know, I'm happy to share what my experience is. Organizations such as the Canadian Association of Women in Construction who are offering a mentorship program to women who are interested in the trades. And our own organization, in partnership with a few other organizations actually in the Toronto area, are hosting a forum in Hamilton on February 28th, really for women who want to explore career options in the trades as well. So it'll be an opportunity to speak with people working in the trades, people who provide skilled trades training, employers who are hiring women in the skilled trades. So just really reaching out and looking for that information. There's a ton of it out there now.
That's great. And what's the website for your school, Danielle?
Our website is www.thecenter.on.ca. And to get specifically to our WIST program, enter all of that /WIST.
Awesome. That's great. Well, thank you so much for sharing your perspective on women in trades today. It certainly is a very interesting industry. It's giving me something to think about too, I have to be honest. So thanks for coming along today. And we've been speaking with Danielle Scott, the Community Outreach and Student Liaison for Skilled Trades at the Center for Skills Development and Training in Burlington. This is Melissa Rodway for Career Buzz at CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm speaking now with Lisa Pozeg, who joins me on the line today from Hamilton. Lisa is self-employed in home renovations after taking a Women in Trades program at the Center for Skills Development and Training in Burlington in 2011. Lisa, welcome to Career Buzz, and thanks for joining me today.
Thank you.
So you went to trade school back in 2011, which is really not that long ago, and already you're operating your own home renovations business, which is a pretty quick transition. So I know this is not your first career, and I'm wondering if you can tell us a little bit about your past career in education and how and why you chose home renovations.
Yeah, originally I went to school, I started taking business. I got my job at the bank. It was a good job. It was a secure job. I was there for 4 years full time, and it kind of got to be the same thing every day. It was routine. And finally, I just needed a change. I was doing some work around my house, and I liked working with my hands. I've always liked working for my hands. I just never thought of going into the trades as being an option.
Mm-hmm.
And I was looking online. I was looking on the computer at Women in Trades and how to get into it, and I just came across the program online at Burlington through the WISP program. And I thought it's better do it now than never, right?
Absolutely.
I was young enough to do it at the same time too. Like I felt like I could just get out there, go do it, quit my job and go. So I started at the school right after that, and it was only an 8-month program. And originally I did want to go work like on a crew for a construction site, go get a job right out of school. But it was a lot harder than I thought it was going to be. So right after that, I thought I needed some more experience coming out of school and thought, try out a few things. I started doing jobs for friends and family. And I didn't know exactly what I wanted to be in the trades. The program offered a large variety of different trades. So finally, I just got out there, started doing a lot of different things, and I love doing a lot of different things. And we did a basement renovation from like the ground up all the way through, which was a lot more rewarding getting all the trades done and finishing it.
Mm-hmm.
And with the design aspect, we picked a lot of that ourselves. And then jobs just hasn't stopped.
Hmm. So I'm curious what the reaction was from other people in your life when you told them you're leaving banking and you're heading into this kind of industry.
For my closest family and friends, I feel they're the most supportive. I couldn't have had a better reaction from people. It was some of the outside people that you talk to on day to day. I had mixed reactions. And there was even one guy not so long ago, and he was asking me, and he knew I started my own business. And he asked if I had work for him and I could use him. And I said, "That's right now we don't have work. It's me and my work partner that are doing all the work right now. And that we have enough to handle for us." And he couldn't believe that we were doing the work ourselves.
Right.
He thought we were contracting the work out. He didn't think we were actually doing the work physically.
Because your partner, your business partner is a woman as well.
Yeah, she's a female too.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So how is the business going at this point?
So far, so good. We've just been in something every day. We've been moving on something every day. We learned a lot. We've had to learn a lot. We haven't had exactly like a mentor over us, kind of overlooking everything. Some things are trial and error.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of, we always went back to it. We always got it right. We always asked all the right questions to people we knew. And yeah, and we've done well since. We're happy with our work. Everybody else seems to be.
And do you find the majority of your clients are female, looking for female home renovators, or what's your market like?
Yeah, so in the last year, that's exactly what we found, was that it is becoming a lot more female based clientele. But it seems there's a lot of women buying their own houses today on their own. Or a lot of single women with kids who felt a lot more comfortable looking for females to come into the house. And they preferred it before they ever even heard of us. And the word of mouth that we were female, they wanted us in their house.
Right.
They said a lady last night that we did a quote for said she trusted females in her house, and she felt okay to leave during the day and wasn't going to have a problem. And she liked the relationship. She felt like she could trust females.
Mm-hmm.
Over males, and that's been like a huge market for us right now.
Right. So would you ever at this point consider going back to a desk job and wearing a dress and heels every day, or at this point is there no looking
Never
back?
Never again.
That's great.
I wouldn't do it twice. I tried it once, and I feel like my mom told me I wasn't going to like it, mm-hmm. and that I needed to be with my hands, but I tried it anyways, mm-hmm. and I learned quick. I don't want to do it again, and I don't miss it very much.
So you feel like this has been a natural chapter for you? This is where you belong, perhaps, in the working world?
Yeah, I wish I got into it earlier.
Right.
If after high school somebody said, here's the trades, here's this program, and be on your own from there, I would have taken it in a heartbeat.
So how would you advise a young person that's possibly interested in getting into trades with what you know now and what you wish you had known then? What would you recommend?
Well, for females especially, they just can't be intimidated by the trades and thinking that it is like dominantly male. Even if they don't have skills themselves, there are places you can learn it. The WISP program was extremely helpful in building confidence and skills. Anybody from there, I'd recommend to find their courses and just to go online. They're out there. They exist for mm-hmm. women, and it's geared right to them. And just to dive right in and just to get in, and they'll be happy with the response to see if they like it.
Mm-hmm. And owning your own business, do you feel like it was an important combination to blend the world of physical work as well as the business aspect, or is that just something that came out of this unexpectedly?
Doing it, I found it extremely helpful, and maybe in the beginning that's why I thought I could do it instead of shying away from it, was because I did have a business side. I worked in an environment that was exactly like it, so I knew a lot of that part already, so I didn't have to just rely on the trades and my skills in the trades. I did have both to fall back on, and that helped build a lot through. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I would have never gone back in. I'm glad I have a background in business going through to this.
Mm-hmm. What would you say the biggest surprise has been about your change into trades from the business world?
The biggest surprise, and I knew it was going to happen, has still been some reactions from males getting into the trades.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was going to be a lot easier. I hear all the stories. I hear everything they have to say. And it was one experience, and it just came right out of school. Somebody called. They wanted some contract work or duct work, and somebody referred them to me, but they must have not said my name. And he started talking to me, and he started laughing or chuckling because he couldn't believe he was calling a female. And he kind of went around in circles and said he'd call me back and ask me if I had my own tools and boots. And I told him I did, and he said, all right. He's like, I'll call you back if you can come in the morning. And then he kind of just wrote it off after that. And so reactions like that is hard, but it's kind of, a lot of times I feel like, well, it's their loss. But for the guys that give it a chance, it's almost more rewarding because they doubt you more than anybody else. But when they see the work you do, they're also at the same time more impressed than they probably would be if they seen any male do it.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure it in some ways fuels the fire to do a great job when there is obviously still a bit of resistance towards women in these fields.
Right.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, this has to be a very quick interview, but thank you so much for joining me today, and we wish you the best of luck in your business. It's very interesting when you see somebody go from such a one world to another world. They're very different areas. So thank you for sharing your story with us. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
You've been listening to Melissa Rodway talking with Lisa Pozeg, a busy home renovations owner after taking a Women in Trades program only a few short years ago in 2011. We're here with Career Buzz at CIUT 89.5 FM talking today about women in trades.
From the roots up, CIUT 89.5 FM, Toronto, presenting the history and evolution of sound for 25 years and counting. CIUT 89.5 FM, Toronto.
Michelle Demek now joins me on the line from Oakville. Michelle was also a student at the Center for Skills Development and Training at the Burlington campus. Welcome, Michelle.
thank you.
So, Michelle, you've gone from being a mom and a manager at McDonald's to being a mom and an electrical apprentice.
That's correct. Tell us
about how and why you made this leap from being a manager at McDonald's to becoming an electrician.
To me, I think they're still both the same. They're still hands-on career choices. It's just I find with an electrician's apprentice, you're just constantly learning. So it's always going to be a new thing.
Why that type of work versus other types of trades? How did you choose that area?
To be honest, I'm not sure why electrical. It was either electrical or plumbing because I always help my dad around the house. Just electrical seemed a little cleaner than plumbing.
Right. So you were working at McDonald's and you decided you needed a change of pace, or was it a life circumstance, or what really was it? What was that light that went off that said, I'm going to shift gears and work in a different capacity?
Actually, I just had my daughter and I went back to work, and I was working as a manager in a clinic office, and I just thought, you know what, I need a different career, you know, more money to support my kids.
And when you went back to school, I was told that your class was a little bit more unique than the other women in trades because you were the only woman in the class. It was a co-ed class, is that correct?
That's correct.
So what was that like for you, joining into a whole new industry that's kind of male-dominated, being the only woman in the program? How was that for you?
For me, it was a little intimidating at first because I wasn't sure if I'd made the right decision because I'd never actually done anything electrical. So I'm going into a whole new field. Everyone else in my class, all the other males, they had done electrical stuff before. So at first it was a little intimidating.
Oh, yeah. So was there ever a part of you that felt that you couldn't do it, or you were, you know, why were you there? Because you had no experience compared to everybody else, or did you just sort of fight through it?
I think until I had my first test, it was always doubtful because I wasn't sure if I was getting it. I wasn't sure if I was going to get it. But until I wrote my first test, then I knew I'd made the right decision.
Wow. And you had better marks than all the guys in your class?
I don't say I had better marks. I wish I did.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, I wasn't at home studying for 5 hours before the exams. I actually didn't study at all for the exams.
Wow.
So it was just kind of, I wrote the exams with what I'd learned from the class.
How did they treat you in the class, these guys?
Just kind of one of the guys. I became just one of them.
Right.
Yeah. So it wasn't, I was a girl to them. It was nice.
Yeah, that is nice. And so from there, you have actually gone into the field.
Actually, I work for a communications company. So we do all networking cables.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's the same, but we just don't deal with the high voltage. So it's safer.
Mm-hmm. And what are you enjoying about your job these days?
Right now, everything is a learning experience because I've never done it before. Every day is always something different.
Mm-hmm. What would you dislike about it?
To be honest, right now, there hasn't been anything that I've disliked.
Wow.
Yeah.
So compared to more typical traditional work, this is a bit of a new adventure. You're learning things every day. Sounds like it's a little bit different and a new path for you to explore.
Exactly. I mean, for once, I think I can say I go to work every day happy. Like, I really enjoy what I do.
That's great. Would you say that working in trades has changed aspects of your life, like that is infiltrating other parts of your life, maybe in the way of confidence or, you know, how you're feeling about being in the world or with other people or things that you can handle that you may not have thought you could do before?
I'm a little bit more confident. Like, I mean, you always have some areas that, you know, you're never going to be confident about, but I do have a little bit more confidence with myself. At home, I know I can do a little bit more than I used to before.
Oh, that's interesting. So it's sort of led into you being more hands-on with things to fix up around the house.
Exactly.
What would you say your fears were before getting into trades, and how has that changed?
The only fear actually was just being
a woman in the man's world. Because you hear some stories about, you know, your traditional men, you know, that believe that the women shouldn't be doing those jobs. So it was just really how I was going to be accepted in this world, in that environment.
In your class, they treated you like one of them. Is that happening in the actual work world for you?
Yeah. Like, I mean, I'm just treated as one of them. I mean, it's different in the work environment than it is in the class. I mean, I'm going to work and there's 150 men instead of just 6 men. So you're looked at differently, yes. It's kind of a nice feeling actually going to work.
Because you're different, because you stand out a little bit.
Exactly.
Yes, because sometimes actually working with a lot of women is not easy either. So maybe it's not so bad to be... you know, the only one or one of a handful of women amongst a sea of men. That's maybe not such a bad situation.
Exactly. And I think working with all men, I think, is a little bit more comfortable than working with all women. I just find the competition is not there.
Right.
That's what I find.
Oh, that's interesting. So are there any women in your company where you're working?
There's women in the office, but not in the field. At the site I'm working at, there is a few women that I've seen on site.
So what would you say the differences are in working styles between men and women in your field?
In my field, women are just a little bit more, I guess, they have a delicate approach when it comes to cabling. So when we're doing our terminations or anything like that. So we're just a little bit more delicate, which they actually enjoy.
So they being the client?
The company,
right?
Yeah.
So the clients are probably happy to have a woman on board instead of all men in some
exactly.
ways. Yeah. I'm curious about the reaction that people have in the community or in your family when you tell them that you're now an electrician and this is what you're doing. What's the reaction been to you?
Everyone's very supportive. It's funny because when I told my father that I wanted to become an electrician, he was a little standoffish about it because mm-hmm. my dad's very traditional when it comes to women and their careers. So,
right.
But he's accepted it now.
Right. Moving forward from here, are there other trades that you would want to get into besides electrical work, or does this open up new pathways and new opportunities and new things that you can always keep learning and growing for developing your career?
Well, what's nice about communications is they're already always developing new products for us to use, so it's constantly learning, and hopefully I can become a foreman on a site one day. That's what I'm hoping for.
Have there been many female foremen on the site to date so far?
Well, actually, my journeyman, my foreman right now, he's never seen a woman foreman before, so
wow.
I'm hoping.
That's great. That's amazing.
Yeah,
that's a very good goal, and it's a great role model for other women, actually. And this is something that I'm also curious about in a time when young people are trying to figure out careers, and it's hard to find jobs in certain industries. What's your advice, and what's your thoughts on young women entering the field of being an electrician?
I don't think they should be afraid of it. I mean, women, I think, can do anything. As long as we put our mind to it and we dedicate ourselves, we should be able to do anything we want to.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So it sounds like you're coming home from work feeling pretty fulfilled and energetic every day.
I do nowadays. I do.
It was a tough start in the beginning?
It was. I mean, it was hard to adjust to. I mean, we work early mornings, but at least now I'm home on the weekends with my kids. I'm home every night with my kids. So it's actually very fulfilling.
And do you find it physically demanding?
You know what? I'm less exhausted doing a hands-on job than actually just sitting in an office.
I believe it, actually. Yeah.
It's funny, but it's true. Like, I'm less exhausted nowadays than I was before.
Okay, well, thank you, Michelle, so much. I'm sorry we don't have more time, but I do appreciate you telling your story, and I wish you the best of luck, and I hope you become the foreman or forewoman as you are aspiring to do. That would be very inspirational. So thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
So you've been listening to Melissa Rodway on Career Buzz at CIUT 89.5 FM. I was just speaking with Michelle Demick, an electrical apprentice who took the Women in Trades course. Actually, she was the only woman in her trades course at the Center for Skills Development and Training in Burlington. So thank you very much. I'm now speaking with Jennifer Green, who is an industrial mechanic millwright, joining me on the phone from Arthur, Ontario. Good morning, Jennifer, and welcome to Career Buzz.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Good. So thanks for joining us today.
No problem.
Jennifer, tell us what an industrial mechanic millwright actually does.
I am a mechanic by definition. What makes it the industrial part is that I'm working on large, heavy-duty machinery. So you can think of a car mechanic, but instead of working on cars, I actually work on the machines that make the car parts. So there are also millwrights at places such as Wonderland that fixes the roller coasters and Christie Cookies that work on the machines that make products such as that.
So lots of variety in this type of trade.
Very. A millwright can be practically anywhere, including hospitals.
Wow. How did you get into this? Did you leave a past career to do this, or how did you get into this line of work?
To be honest, there was no real past career before this. I started right out of high school. I was originally going to go to university for criminology. I was taking all advanced courses, and I thought I had my life set. In my careers class, I heard an opportunity for the cooperative education program. My teacher said it was the last day, and I had never heard of it. I had no idea what it was. I immediately rose my hand, asked them about it, and thought, that would be fun. Mm-hmm. And so I was already taking tech classes. I was good at them, and honestly, I was taking them as a bird course to try and get my grades a little bit higher for university. It was something that I had never thought of it as being a career, even though I enjoyed it. So I decided to take it for co-op and ended up absolutely loving it. From there, I interviewed for the OYAP program, which is the Ontario Youth Apprenticeship Program. It's where you can actually become a registered apprentice while you're still a high school student and gain hours towards your apprenticeship. Linamar took a chance with me and hired me, and I have been there ever since. I completed my apprenticeship through them, went on to write my CFQ, and I am still a member of their company today.
Wow. So all of this since 2008?
Actually, 2004. I started the co-op program when I was in high school. I did the OYAP program in my grade 12 year. I graduated in 2005. From there, I went right to college and had my my certificate of qualification as a licensed journey person in 2008.
Wow! So, if you had missed them today. Sorry, if you had
missed
that career class, you could be a lawyer at the moment.
Yeah, I could be a lawyer. I could be in criminology. I can definitely say I would have gone to university, whether it would have been what I thought it was at the time. But that's where I would have headed if my teacher had literally not announced that it was the last day for co-op, because I had never heard of it before. I did not know what it was.
That's wild. So you changed your whole entire future based on going to this session and deciding you wanted to give this a go, and it actually worked out for you.
Yeah, I did a complete 180. And when I'm talking to students in high schools, that's what I try and talk to them about. I try and say to them, don't be afraid of change. Don't fear what is different. Because I was quite scared, to be frank. I wasn't sure what I was doing, and it ended up working out very well for me.
How did your parents support this massive 180 change?
My mother had always wanted me to go to university, as it was not an opportunity that she had. And my father is also a tradesperson. He's a tool and die maker. So when I told them that I was kind of doing this big switch, it was one of those quizzical looks, and they said, okay, we'll see where this goes kind of thing. So after co-op was finished, and I said to them, I really like it. I think this is what I want to do. And I told them why, and I showed them how happy I was, and they both supported me and said to me, though, if there's anything that I ever need or anything changes, just let them know. Just talk to them, and whatever I want, we can try and make happen.
That's amazing. So
that was really nice of them.
It was nice of them. They obviously believed in you, and that's half the battle sometimes, is having that confidence and that support.
Yes, definitely.
So you've been doing this since you were 16, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's a pretty young age to get into something of this type of work. So what was that experience like as a young woman? You're working in a male-dominated industry.
It was certainly interesting, to say the least. There was nobody close to my age at the time. The next closest person was actually 12 years older, and that was one of my closest friends at the time.
Mm.
One of the things that I experienced that I remember the most was the fact that they were always so polite to me. Everyone was always opening doors, and they were desperately trying not to swear around me or say different things. And it came to the point that I actually said to them, "You got to stop. I'm so happy that you're being so polite to me and respecting me. But I said, if I want to fit in, you need to treat me like anybody else. If I'm going to work in this field, and as you said, as a woman in a male-dominated trade, I really need to fit in, and I need to personally figure out how I'm going to fit in. So I said to them, I said, just treat me as you would anybody else. And that definitely gave me a whole new eyeful, to say the least. But I figured out how to fit in, how to work in with it, and how to get myself around situations and how to make it work.
And is there an advantage to being the only or one of the few females on a crew or the only female on a crew?
You definitely stick out like a sore thumb. Mm. You are the first one noticed, and if maybe you're not in uniform and you announce that you're in maintenance or what you do, you're kind of laughed at first as a joke, and they're like, "No, really, where's the mechanic?" And you're like, "No, really, I am the mechanic." So you're the first one that sticks out, and you're normally the first one that's asked, and the question that's asked the most is, "Why did you get into this?" or "How did you get into this?" Everyone's always shocked to see a young female in the trades, especially one for who already has like the goal set and they know what they want, or they've already accomplished it by such a young age. So it's something that gets asked of a lot, as to that's the biggest question that I'm asked is, how did you get into this, or why, what made you decide to get into this?
And have you ever had any interest in leaving it and trying something else, or do you feel like this is where you're meant to be?
I think that this is where I'm meant to be, as kind of a side job. This is something I would definitely like to pursue even more so than what I'm already doing, is promoting women in the trades and the trades themselves. I also worked for the Upper Grand District School Board for a while, demonstrating presentations to high school classes on the trades for co-op and OEF and so on, trying to get the word out there. I do a lot for Skills Canada for the Women's Networking Dinner and Conference Days, promoting it and trying to get the word out and let them know that there are more women getting into the trades. There are more and more programs out there to make it even easier for them to find information, to find employers, to get involved. My company, Linamar, right now has a pilot project going on for apprenticeships for women in the trades with the Catholic District School Board.
Why do you feel this is so important to you to get the word out? You're very passionate about this and about promoting it and encouraging women to do it. What is it about it that you feel is so valuable that people need to know?
When in my first year of college, I almost failed my midterm. And I was asking myself, what am I doing? What have I done? Wow, I've made the biggest, worst decision I have ever done. What am I doing? And I thought to myself, I'm already in this. I know I like it. I know I just need to keep going. The doubt that I gave myself was huge, and I became very, very scared. There was another girl in our class, and she ended up dropping out. And I thought to myself, I can do this. I can finish this. I just need to get some thick skin and put up my chin and don't show the fear and just keep going on. I ended up being in the top five of my class, and I graduated with honors across the board.
Wow.
From there, it gave me confidence, but I was still not quite there yet. I was still kind of shy, especially when working with new people, because as a woman in the trade, every new person that you work with, I felt that I was constantly having to reprove myself over and over again. But in my third year of college, Conestoga College asked me to represent them for the millwright competition for Skills Canada. I said no, to be quite frank. I was scared. I said, I am too afraid of coming in last. I'm afraid of being said as the girl who couldn't do it. And my teacher pretty much laughed at me. He said, I chose you for a reason. He said, you are doing very well. He said, I believe in you. I think that you can do this. So between him, my family, and my coworkers laughing at me saying, what are you doing? Of course you need to do this. I decided to go ahead and do it, and I'm glad I did. It was by far one of the best decisions I ever made. I ended up placing first for Ontario, and I went on to compete in Alberta, and I won second place for Canada. Hmm. After that, I have more respect than I could ever ask for. It's no longer, I don't no longer feel shy. I feel like, yes, I can do this. Yes, my name is out there, and I'm immediately given respect.
So it sounds like the biggest challenge in this industry is actually overcoming your own fears and insecurities.
Yeah, that's my own personal story, that I had to get over what it was I was feeling inside and push forth.
Well, I'm sure you're not alone in that. For many women that are embarking on this type of career, because it's pretty brave, I have to say, but it sounds like there's a lot of opportunity. And from what I keep hearing, there's so much variety, and it's an ongoing learning type of industry where things change all the time and you're always improving and learning new things, which is always a pretty fulfilling aspect of any career.
Yes, definitely. Something that was very fulfilling was I had left a specific plant within my own company. We had several different plants, and I'd come back to do a speaking engagement, and there was a young woman who came up to me, only a year or two younger than I am, and asked me if I was Jennifer Spears. Now, Spears was my maiden name. It's Green now, and I kind of looked at her quizzical, and I said yes, and she just looked at me, and she asked me, and she said, can I hug you? Mm-hmm. And I kind of stood back, very unsure of what to do, as I'm not a big hugging person. And so I said yes, and she gave me this big hug, and she simply said, thank you. And it's still, I'm quite confused. And I said to her, I'm like, thank you for what? She said, for doing everything that you're doing. She said, all these speaking things. And she said, the way that you are trying to turn around how a woman is viewed in the workplace, and trying to get the stereotype gone, and just being in a department. She said, she moved into the plant that I had been at currently. And she said it was wonderful to walk into an atmosphere where they were already used to working with a woman in a maintenance department. She said when she walked in, she said, for lack of a term, she said it was easy breezy compared to the place that she was at before. She said the company that she was at before, she said it was horrible. She said they didn't know how to treat her. She said some were treating her badly or unfairly. And she said to walk into an atmosphere where they were already used to it, from me being there and from me talking, she said, was overwhelming. And it was so grateful to hear that I had helped someone and they were now within my own company, and to hear her personal experience and to see that what I've been doing is working was extremely fulfilling.
And it's kind of another aspect and element of your career when you can combine the physical part of your job as well as the promoting that you're doing and the speaking that you're doing. So it's funny how you can start in a career and so many different avenues can open up for you that you didn't maybe see happening when you began.
I always did public speaking in school, and me and probably every other student thought that it was useless at the time, and I never thought that all the classes that I took would help me in what I'm trying to fulfill today.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have today, but you've been an amazing guest, very inspirational, and I thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
We'll have to leave it there, but that was Jennifer Green joining me, Melissa Rodway, today on Career Buzz at CIUT 89.5 FM for our conversation on women in trades. So my last guest on today's show is Shelley McIntyre, who is a heavy equipment operator and joins us from Nanaimo, BC. Good morning, Shelley. How long would it take for someone to go to school for heavy equipment operator and then be working in the field? What's the process there?
I took the Women in Trades program, and it was 5 months. And it's a road building program, and you get to go on the machines. And the instructors tell you how they work, as well as you learn the basics of the machines, as in engines and how they work. And then I was out of a job just about 4 months after my final exam. And I got on with the company I'm with now, Island Aggregate.
And in the training that you did, they offer you a variety of skills and types of machinery to work on, so maybe you can find your way or your path or what interests you the most out of that, or is it just an overall, we're going to show you a bit of everything and see what you're good at?
We had 100 hours in excavator, but they also showed us, we had a few few days each on graders and bulldozers, loaders, rock trucks, and we also got our Class 3, which is like a dump truck or a garbage truck license as well, and our air brakes. So it's basically giving us the basis of all of them, and we can figure out what we want, but our main hours are on the excavator, so we're more likely to get a job being an excavator operator.
And why did you pick this area as a trade?
Funny you should say that. Actually, I saw an ad on Craigslist. A man wrote in saying how vile it was that women got funded for this training and men did not, and it was unfair because of the women's in trade putting this out there. And I looked at my husband and I said, I'm going to try for it. And he goes, you should. And so I got all my application together and sent it in just under the deadline. And I was one of the 13 that got accepted.
Wow. And what had you been doing prior to this?
I was a dental assistant for 17 years before this.
Wow, that's a lot different.
Yeah, well, sort of. You excavate in a smaller scale.
What was the catalyst that made you go from being a dental assistant to going into trades?
I was in a car accident. And I couldn't work in dental anymore. It was either work in dental and have a very short career and a long pain afterwards, or get out of dental. So I got out of dental.
It's interesting that there would be less physical pain in what you're doing as a heavy equipment operator than being a dental hygienist or assistant.
A dental assistant's a very static job with your neck and your upper back. And I did take time off. I took about 7 years off to get myself back into shape and free of pain. I do get sore, but it's different because I can get out. I'm physically active. I have to actually shovel dirt every day, about at least 2 to 14 tons.
Whoa.
So I'm staying in shape, and I can move. I'm more likely to, if I'm got a headache or whatever, I can get out of my cab and grease my machine, for instance, rather than just stay in the same position because my boss needs me to retract that sheet.
Right. So the variety of the job helps you physically, actually.
Yeah.
So what do you like about your job?
A lot. I like being outdoors. I like learning on the job. There's so many little things that you keep on learning, especially being in the mine where I am. And I get to see my end results. That's awesome, just to look out at the end of the day and see your trench and see your road or see your, you know, production. You can physically see what you've done.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of rewarding that way.
What types of stereotypes are you running into in this field?
Well, you said you saw the video.
Mm-hmm.
And you might know I'm not the biggest girl out there. So I do find not only that, oh, it's a girl, I get that stereotype quite a bit, but it's not a big girl, she can't handle it type thing. So I do get that kind of stereotype. And plus being the new person, not knowing, not being in the field for 10, 15 years, I get the, well, she doesn't know what she's talking about, or she doesn't know what she's doing kind of attitude as well.
And how do you overcome that?
I ask questions. I ask questions. I try to be a great team person because I came from a field that's all teamwork. So I try to be part of my team, and I, not that I want to say I show them up, but I pull my own weight.
And before we continue, just so listeners know, the video that we're talking about is a video that was done in BC about three different women. Shelley is one of them, and it talks about their story and about their lives being in trades, and it's really, really interesting. So if you go to YouTube and search Women in Trades, WITT, I believe, that's where you'll find it.
Yeah, that's
yeah. What surprised you in this experience that you weren't expecting?
What surprised me was how much I enjoy it every day. And I surprised myself with, like, raising the bar for myself in going back to school and learning this in a, like you said, a totally different trade. And getting out there every day and just loving it.
Right.
There's not a bad day.
And are there a lot of opportunities for women in heavy equipment?
Yes, a ton of opportunities. It's amazing how many women are requested in a heavy equipment job. They seek women because they treat the machines usually better, and their willingness to do a good job. They're meticulous usually, and not that guys aren't, but there's usually that care for attention mm-hmm. that women have that is not always necessarily there. And so when there's a woman operator out there, they're just snatched up. They're valued. Also with going to school or even learning on the job, because you can learn in a base job and work your way up as well, that there doesn't have to be a lot of schooling debt mm-hmm. and a lot of, 5-10 years to become what you want to become and be in a base level job.
Right. Shelley, I'm wondering if there's ever a time where you feel afraid in your work.
Yes, there is. There are times I get nervous. I scare myself mostly with the stability of the machine. But I've learned to be cautious and that the best thing is to think before doing.
And how do the men around you handle, or do they even know that you're having a moment of feeling afraid or nervous about what you're doing?
Oh, I never let them see that.
Do you think it's common for women to feel this sort of sense of nervousness in trades?
I do, actually. Since it has been, in the past, a very male-dominant area, that I think, like you said, the lower confidence level does make you a little more nervous, a little more scared, and I just wish that people would just take that moment and just say, no, don't second-guess yourself.
And does the schooling prepare you at all for this?
Oh, it definitely does. You're on the machines for at least 100 hours, and your instructors are there, and they push you
right.
more out of your comfort zone than you probably like at those times.
Well, that's all the time we have for today. But Shelley, thank you so much for your time. It's always interesting to hear these stories. It's sort of an unconventional life that I like to hear about as people embark on different paths. And it's always nice to discover what people are doing with their days. So thank you very, very much for joining us today.
Well, thank you very much for phoning all the way here and hearing my story.
Oh, yeah, no, it's a great story. And again, people should check the video out. Go to YouTube, Women in Training, WITT, and it's really, really interesting. And for anyone interested in trades, it's a good preview as to what you're getting yourself into, which looks like a very lucrative lifestyle and career. So I just want to thank all the guests that we've had on the show for Women in Trades: Shelley McIntyre, Jennifer Green, Danielle Scott, Lisa Pozeg, and Michelle Demek. It's been an interesting discussion on women in trades, and I've been your host, Melissa Rodway, for Career Buzz on CIUT 89.5 FM.